John Faso is from New York's 19th District. He's been in office since 2017. John, how do you like it in the House? Is it a good place to be? Are you happy?
I'm happy. I feel a great sense of obligation and responsibility, obviously, representing 725,000 people.
In how many counties?
In 11 counties.
Whoa.
So it's a district that stretches in the Northeast. We touch the Vermont border up in Rensselaer County, and we touch the Pennsylvania border down along the Delaware River. So it's a big, wide, diverse district, a lot of different people spread over the second largest district, congressional district in New York State.
Well, so let me ask you a question. How's Donald Trump doing?
Well, I think it depends on who you ask.
I'm asking
and,
you.
It depends on what the topic is. I think that he's a very unconventional president. There are certain things that he has done that I agree with in terms of policies, but there are other things that he does and says that I don't agree with. So I really just kind of pick him as I see him. It's what I said I'd do when I was running last year, that I would support Mrs. Clinton if she won, when I agreed with her, and not if I didn't. And I said the same thing about Donald Trump.
Are you troubled by the accusations of Trump relationships with the Russians?
Well, I think that so far the special counsel, Mr. Mueller, is in charge of the issue of investigating the alleged collusion. And as someone, one of the columnists pointed out the other day, collusion is not a federal crime. Conspiracy is a federal crime to commit crime. Investigating the issue of whether what the Russians did and what the Trump campaign may or may not have done. And as I've said, let the chips fall where they may.
If the president fires Bob Mueller one way or the other, what would you think the mood of the House would be and what would your mood be?
It wouldn't be positive. And I think the mood of the House would not be positive. That's why I don't think that'll be done.
But if it was done, what would you do?
I'm not going to speculate on a hypothetical that I don't believe will happen.
See, I do believe it's going to happen for whatever it's worth. I think.
And then I'll tell you what my answer is.
Good. We'll have you back.
Sure.
You can do that.
But, you know, you understand I can come up with all sorts of hypotheses that would call me to speculate upon what may or may not happen in political or other contexts. And I generally, throughout my time in office, I've not fallen into that briar patch.
So I guess the answer would be exactly the same if I said to you, okay, John Faso, what if this happened and an impeachment resolution was put on the floor, would you vote for it? And you would say, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you decided to vote against the tax overhaul plan.
I spent a fair amount of time studying the bill, looking at the various aspects and discussing it with not only my constituents, but people throughout the state who called me about the bill. And I've spoke to business leaders and academic leaders and other people, economists, accountants, talked to people who would have different points of view on this thing. And there's a lot to say about the need for tax reform. I support simplification. I support fixing the imbalances where U.S. corporations are taxed much higher than their foreign competitors. And I also want to see us create more incentives for small businesses, for instance, and have a simpler tax system. That being said, I ultimately decided I had to vote no. And largely that was because of the changing federal policy after 114 years of making taxable the income that you've already paid to your state or local government. For 114 years since the tax code was put in place, I'm sorry, 104 years, I misspoke because it came in 1913. For 104 years, the tax system at the federal level allowed a deduction for the amount you paid to your state or local government. Now, there's no doubt New York's taxes are way too high. Our local taxes are way too high. In fact, they're much higher than Massachusetts, where some people I know live.
Taxachusetts.
That's right. And so this is also driving people away from the state. The exodus is happening now, and my fear was if we completely, as of January 1, eliminate the deductibility of state taxes and partially eliminate the deductibility of property taxes, as the House bill would do, that this would accelerate the exodus of successful people and businesses from our state, and therefore would have a negative impact upon my district and our state. Now, keep in mind, Alan, most of the middle-class taxpayers in my district would be getting a tax cut under the House plan. Despite the rhetoric you hear from some on the left who they can't talk about taxes without also talking about millionaires and billionaires.
Isn't there a legitimate?
No, there's actually not.
All the analysis shows that the people at the top are getting the biggest.
The analysis is often flawed and skewed one way or the other. But the vast majority of taxpayers in my district would be getting a tax cut, mainly because the standard deduction would be doubled from $12,000 for married filing jointly to about $24,000.
Even without the deductibility of state and local
taxes. Correct, because the way to analyze this, and here's where a lot of what comes through the media and why a show like yours is so useful, I think, because you can speak at length about some of these things. You don't have to put it all in 10-second sound bites. So unless if you're a married couple filing jointly and you have under $24,000 of itemized deductions for the tax return you filed last year, you are better off with a $24,000 standard deduction because you don't need the SALT deduction, the state and local tax. You don't need the mortgage deduction, and you don't need the charitable deduction.
Well, what about all those people, John, who are getting who are making $100,000 or $90,000?
They're definitely better off because the brackets, the rates are lower. And that lower rates, even if you lose a deduction, say, for student loan interest or if you're a teacher, school supplies, the lower rates are going to mean you're going to pay less taxes. And if you have a couple of kids, a couple of dependent children, you're going to get a $1,600 tax credit, which, of course, is better than a deduction because a credit comes right off the amount you owe in taxes. So here's how you have to analyze this. You've got to look at your own circumstance, and you've got to look and say, okay, if you're married filing jointly, do I have more than $24,000 of itemized deductions? If you don't, you're better off with a $24,000 standard deduction.
Okay, so you're arguing, you'll pardon the expression, the sort of Trump line. However, at the same time, John, you voted against it.
Well, what I'm saying is that I'm telling people how you should analyze this particular proposal. Don't just rely upon some talking head on the left or the right saying, oh, you're better off or you're worse off. Look at your own situation. Now, when I analyzed this, I looked at it from the standpoint of typical families in my district, but I also analyzed it from the standpoint of what's the impact on the state. And my feeling was that the impact on the state was negative. And what that would do, it would dramatically lower tax receipts that the state would receive. And therefore, it would drive many, many people, especially more affluent and business owners, drive them out of the state. And that's really the crux of my objection to this proposal.
Okay, so when we come back the next time, John Faso, we'll pick it up where we left it off. All right. Thank you for this, John. I appreciate it. John Faso is of New York's 19th district, and we'll be talking to him more in the coming days. Thank you.